Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful to meet this Christmas Eve, to be able to worship thee, to partake of the sacrament, to make covenant with thee. We're so grateful for the gift of thy Son, for his birth and for his life. We're thankful for thy love and for his love, and the willingness to come to this earth to create the path by which we can return to thee and to overcome our sins and our weaknesses, to overcome death and hell. We're so grateful for thy love. We pray that we might have the Christmas spirit with us now and throughout all of the year, to always remember thy Son and keep his commandments and strive to do right. Please bless us to reach out to bring joy into the lives of others, to give of ourselves, of our means, of our time to those who have need. That we would have the spirit to guide us and direct us in how to serve. Please forgive us now our sins. Help us to better love thee and show that love through our obedience. Please bless and watch over each member of this ward. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I forgot to acknowledge President Anderson on the stand who's presiding this day. We have two new families to read the records in. We have received the following membership records into the ward, and we invite them to stand as their names are read. Stephen Peterson, Haley Peterson, Sydney Peterson, Nora Peterson, and Stephen Jr. Peterson. And then we also have Richard Lewis, Libby Lewis, Grace Lewis, Kate Lewis, James Miles Lewis. I didn't write this down, so. Sorry, I didn't. Okay, let me. So James Miles, or James Lewis, Miles Lewis, the twins. And then we have Grant Lewis. Okay, great. Those that can accept these members into full fellowship, please indicate it by uplifted hand. Thanks. We will prepare for the sacrament by singing hymn 196, Jesus Wants a Humble Birth, and after which the sacrament will be administered to the congregation.
all the world as you partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son, and always remember him, and keep his commandments which he has given them, that they may always have the Spirit be with them.
O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this water to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they do always remember him, that they may have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
I'd like to thank the Melchizedek and the Aaronic priesthood for their reverent manner they blessed and passed the sacrament. We will now move into our Christmas program, and kind of in advance, we like to thank everyone that is participating, and especially for all the work that Sister Brennan and Sister Gilbert has put into this. I will turn the time over to Sister Brennan.
It is my pleasure to be with you, brothers and sisters, this special morning. I'm grateful for the members of this ward and how they have cooperated with this program. There is a little bit of a change on the program. The choir program continues and doesn't end until before the bishop's remarks. And so we'll kind of flow with how it goes. But we are grateful that we can spend this time with you this Sabbath day.
The scriptures teach us that from the beginning of time, God has sent prophets to testify of Jesus Christ. Some 4,000 years before Christ was born, Adam taught his children of the coming of the Redeemer. And in that day, the Holy Ghost fell upon Adam, which beareth record of the Father and of the Son, saying, I am the only begotten of the Father from the beginning, henceforth and forever, that as thou hast fallen, thou mayest be redeemed, and all mankind, even as many as will. And in that day Adam blessed God and was filled, and began to prophesy concerning all the families of the earth, saying, Blessed be the name of God, for because of my transgression my eyes are opened, and in this life I shall have joy, and again in the flesh I shall see God. Eve, hearing these things, likewise testified. And Eve, his wife, heard all these things and was glad, saying, Were it not for our transgression, we never should have seed and never should have known good and evil. And the joy of our redemption and the eternal life which God giveth upon all the obedient. Together Adam and Eve blessed the name of God, and they made all things known unto their sons and their daughters. After Adam, other prophets like Enoch, the brother of Jared, Lehi, Nephi, and Alma bore powerful testimony of Jesus Christ. Indeed, the scriptures tell us that all the holy prophets from the time of Adam down to our modern day have preached and taught of Jesus Christ. What does this tell us? It is evident that God loves his children, and in his infinite wisdom, he has made preparation for all that all may know to whom they look for their redemption and their salvation.
Oh,
Among the most eloquent testifiers of Jesus Christ was the prophet Isaiah. He provides a deeply moving, profound, personal testimony of the mission of Jesus Christ. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we shall desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carries our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Alma likewise testified, and Christ shall go forth, suffering pains and afflictions and temptations of every kind. And this that the word might be fulfilled, which saith, he will take upon him the pains and the sicknesses of his people, and he will take upon him death, that he may loose the bands of death which bind his people. And he will take upon him their infirmities, that his bowels may be filled with mercy, according to the flesh, that he may know according to the flesh how to succor his people according to their infirmities. As testified by these and many other prophets, ancient and modern, through the atonement of Jesus Christ, all may be healed, all may be made whole. He has borne our griefs, he has carried our sorrows, he knows how to succor us. None are beyond the reach of his infinite love and grace. The magnificent story of our redemption and salvation centers on the birth of the babe in Bethlehem. Of this the prophet Alma prophesied, "And behold, he shall be born of Mary at Jerusalem, which is in the land of our forefathers. She being a virgin, a precious and chosen vessel, who shall be overshadowed and conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost, and bring forth a son, yea, even the Son of God." The prophet Samuel foretold of the miraculous signs and wonders in heaven which herald Christ's birth. "And behold, this will I give unto you for a sign at the time of his coming. For behold, there shall be great lights in heaven, insomuch that the night before he cometh, there shall be no darkness, insomuch that it shall appear unto man as if it was day. Therefore, there shall be one day and a night and a day, as if it were one day and there were no night. And this shall be upon you for a sign, for ye shall know of the rising of the sun and also of its setting. Therefore ye shall know of a surety that there shall be 2 days and a night. Nevertheless, the night shall not be darkened, and it shall be the night before he is born. And behold, there shall be a new star arise, which as one as ye never have beheld. And this also shall be a sign unto you. And behold, this is not all. There shall be many signs and wonders in heaven. And centuries before the star shone over Bethlehem, the prophet Micah foretold that Christ shall be born in Bethlehem. But lo, Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, even from everlasting."
Still we
As foretold by prophets throughout centuries preceding his birth, Christ, creator of the earth, King of kings, the great Jehovah of the Old Testament, was born in the most humble of circumstances. And it came to pass that in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And as it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Can we have the primary kids come on up?
Prophets in the old world and the new bore witness of the miracles and wonders that attended Christ's birth. It was exactly as the prophets had foretold. While earthly kings and nations slumbered, heaven and nature recognized the birth of their king and rejoiced that the blessed day had finally come. The birth of the babe in Bethlehem is central to all Christian belief. In this season, we join with our fellow Christians celebrating the precious gift of God's Son. It is a time to be joyful, a time to reach out to others, a time to bring light into the world.
In December, we wish the wishing well to our world, peace on earth to everyone.
a time to be joyful when all is calm and all is bright. But why does it change with the seasons, and why can't we just hold on to silent nights, holy nights, and angels singing lullabies, and heaven and nature singing goodwill to all, to all. There are times I can remember with family and friends, the light of Christmas radiates, lights up my memories, the magic of love. We made a time, and why does it change with the seasons, and why can't we just hold on to silent nights, holy nights, and angels singing lullabies, and heaven and nature singing goodwill to all, to all.
In the decades after his mortal ministry, Christ's holy apostles in both the New World and the Old bore witness that Jesus Christ was the promised Messiah, the very Son of God. And he was crucified for the sins of the world, and then he rose on the third day triumphant over death and hell. This sheer testimony continues in our day as modern prophets and apostles bear their special witness that Christ lives and that he will come again. And now, after many testimonies which have been given, this is the testimony last of all which we give of him, that he lives. For we saw him even on the right hand of God, and we heard and bore record that he was the only begotten of the Father, that by him and through him and of him the worlds are and were created. and the inhabitants thereof are begotten sons and daughters unto God. And from the living Christ, we testify that he will someday return to earth, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. He will rule as King of kings and reign as Lord of lords, and every knee shall bend, and every tongue shall speak in worship before him. Each of us will stand to be judged of him according to our works and the desires of our hearts. We bear testimony of his duly ordained apostles that Jesus Christ is the living Christ, the immortal Son of God. He is the great, the King Emmanuel, who stands today on the right hand of his Father. He is the light, the life, the hope, and the hope of the world. His way is the path that leads to happiness in this life and eternal life in the worlds to come. God be thanked for the matchless gift of his divine Son.
Thank you.
join us in the second, third, and fourth verse. Here we go.
Rejoice.
We'd like to thank all those who have participated and shared their talent today in our worship of our Savior Jesus Christ and his birth. We're especially thankful for, again, Sister Brennan and all the work that she's put in to pulling this off. We will now hear some closing remarks from Bishop Misbach, and then after Bishop President Anderson. The closing hymn will be then on Hymn 2204, Silent Night, and the benediction will be offered by Sister Janet Sperry.
I love Christmas. Everything about it. Ever since I was a child, I remember as a little boy not being able to go to sleep on Christmas Eve. Maybe you may have a similar memory. I remember lying in bed and thinking that it was the longest night ever. Sleep just wouldn't come. I was so excited. Last night as I went to sleep, I did the same thing. I lay in bed and sleep just wouldn't come. But it was for a different reason than when I was a little boy. I knew what this day would bring. I knew how I would feel in this meeting. I love everything about Christmas. I love the music, the traditions, the gifts, the gatherings, the traditions, everything. This year, as I've looked at the decorations and the various symbols and words of season's greetings, Merry Christmas, joy, peace, one word has stood out to me. The simple word, believe. I love that. It means something just a little bit different to everyone who reads it. But to me, it reminds me of what I believe. I believe in my Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe in his gospel. I believe that he, in fact, was born, that babe in Bethlehem, that he lived and that he died for me. I believe in his gospel I believe in his atoning sacrifice. I believe that he is my Savior and yours, and that by and through him, we are saved. I love that. I love him and his gospel. And leave this message with you in his name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Bring Merry Christmas wishes from President Evans and President Montague. Thank you, Bishop. This has been a glorious day. I wish President Evans could have been here today. With his love of music, he would have just been delighted. It's been wonderful. As I sat here today, an impression came to me. Bishop asked me if I'd like to take a minute, and because of this impression, I'd just like to share it briefly with you. As you know, and I've been hearing a little more about President Monson's invitation to us to consider how we might be able to reduce and simplify in our life. As a stake presidency, and I know as bishoprics around the world are trying to understand how this invitation applies to us. Well, I think it applies in a very interesting way as we celebrate the birth of Christ in the message of his birth. The irony is, as he went, as Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem and they went to the various inns, they were told that there was no room. And I wonder if the people on the other side of the door that were telling them that there was no room knew who was standing outside would have said, there's no room. I have a feeling they would have quickly opened the door and found room and made room and invited Mary and Joseph in. And I wonder if that applies in our life today. Why didn't they let them in? The hustle and bustle of the tax season, the commotion that was taking place in the city. I think we see a similar thing in our world today, don't we? There's a lot of commotion. There's a lot of busyness. There's a lot of urgency to the things that we do. And I think there's a message in this Christmas hymn of O Little Town of Bethlehem that applies not just to a little over 2,000 years ago, but applies to us in our lives today. Listen to this last verse and feel the power of the invitation. I want to add one more word to Bishop's word of believe. I want to add the word receive. The word receive to believe. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, or we may say in this world of commotion, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. And I would just invite us to consider President Monson's invitation, how we might be able to maybe reduce and simplify a little of our lives so that we might be able to recognize who stands at the door and knocks. For he does stand at the door and knock. I testify that he does. And sometimes that knock might be very silent, just like the silent night a little over 2,000 years ago. But as we allow him to enter, as we receive him, I testify that our lives change and that all the possibilities that our Father in Heaven's plan of happiness are unfolded to us. I echo Bishop Misbach's testimony that he lives. I know he lives. I know he does stand as the great King Emmanuel. He stands on the right hand of his Father, and that he is the light and the life of this world, and that he is the way. And as we receive him, we will receive all that the Father hath and be joint heirs with Christ, is my testimony in his name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Silent night, holy night. Our dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this beautiful Christmas season and for all of the many blessings you have given us at this time. We're so thankful for the inspired message that the church put out to light the world and that we've had so many opportunities to serve. And we ask thee to help us to continue to find ways to serve those around us. And we are so thankful for this wonderful ward that we live in and for the spirit that we have felt here today. And we ask thee to please help us to take it home with us and keep it with us. And we pray for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.